The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. At that time, Jesus came to Jericho and intended to pass through the town. Now a man there named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector and also a wealthy man, was seeking to see who Jesus was, but he could not see him because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When he reached the place, Jesus looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down quickly, for today I must stay at your house." And he came down quickly and received him with joy. When they saw all this, they began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to stay at the house of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Behold, half my possessions, Lord, I shall give to the poor, and if I have extorted anything from any one, I shall repay it four times over." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a descendant of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost." The Gospel of the Lord. Evangelii dicta de ante nostra licta. Jesus ate and visited tax collectors and sinners, and you know, the people who thought they were righteous were very offended by this. That's a common theme throughout the gospel. At the same time, what's wonderful about that outreach that Jesus had, right? What was wonderful about the way that he was willing to speak with and interact with tax collectors and sinners and all sorts of people who were straying from God was that the encounter with him changed them. His encounter with them converted them. Right? They often have this conversion, saying, "I'm going to change my life." And he says, "Okay, your faith has saved you. Salvation has come to you. Your sins are forgiven. Now go and don't sin anymore." It's that conversion that is the goal. It's the conversion that's important. The encounter with Jesus, what's miraculous about it is that it brought about the conversion. The encounter itself was a nice thing to do, but it wasn't the end goal. I know a lot of people who want to degrade or water Christianity down to social niceness and do-goodery will often say, "Well, it's just all about the encounter. It's about the encounter, sharing my story with them, and we'll sing together into a beautiful life song." But if it doesn't change anyone, what's the point? Right? You could be as nice and gentle and kind, like, "Oh, no one ever talks to the tax collector because he's a sinner. Oh, look how kind Jesus is." Absolutely. And then the guy changed his life. Then he received salvation. There's a real cruelty. It's not love. It's not kindness. It's a real cruelty to come into contact with someone who's lost. And there's a lot of arrogance, a lot of condescension to say, "Well, I'm going to deign to show them attention. I'm so charitable. I'm so filled with Christian love that I'm going to look them in the eye and make a compassionate face." But then not to proclaim the gospel to them. What's the point? Right? Not to call them to conversion. Why are you doing that? It reminds me of something I believe that James says in his letter elsewhere in the Bible. Right? What good does it do to come to your hungry brother and say, "Well, stay warm and well fed," and not help him? Right? And if that's true for material charity, which is an important and good thing, how much more is it true for spiritual charity? Spiritually assisting people. admonishing the sinner, instructing the ignorant, counseling the doubtful, those works of spiritual mercy. They're necessary. They're a necessary component of that encounter with somebody. If you say, well, I'm going to encounter, and I've said this before, but I'm going to encounter the sinner and let them know that they're not unwelcome. They have a place here in the church. Absolutely, they do. But if the way you do it is by saying, let's lower the bar. There's people saying, like, well, there's people outside of the tent. There's people who are in the darkness outside of the tent. Let's enlarge the tent. Yeah, enlarge the tent. Absolutely. Why not? Bring them in. Make sure that they know there is a place for them. And perhaps we've not done that as well as we could have. I kind of think we've done actually a pretty good job. I think at some point you get to the point where people who say, well, I want to say I have Jesus, but I don't actually want to change. Okay, at that point, it's like, well, widening the tent in that case, not going to do any good. Right, because that fosters complacency. I think better would be to come to them and say, you don't need to stay out here in the dark, in the cold. There's a place for you inside. Come inside. You are going to have to leave some stuff outside, though. You're going to have to change. If you want salvation to come to your house, you need to drive damnation out of it. Go and sin no more. Think of the woman caught in adultery. Right? Jesus looks at her and says, I don't condemn you either. Now go and don't sin anymore. Right? He heals. Is it the blind man, I believe he had said this to? He heals the blind man. Well, of course, you know, blindness isn't necessarily a consequence of sin directly or something, but some people thought like that back then. And so Jesus heals his sight and says, okay, now go and don't sin, lest something worse happen to you. Right? You thought being blind was bad. You thought being blind was bad. Imagine being damned. So go and don't sin, so that nothing worse will happen to you. So it's never, ever, 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 ever just welcome. It is welcome, but it's also welcome. Come in. Change. Come in. Hear the words of salvation. Come in, knowing that if you're outside, you have to move inside. If you're going the other direction, come, see, experience the love and the salvation and the joy of Jesus Christ, to whom you currently have your back. You will need to turn around to face him. And that does mean turning your back on what's in front of you right now. Conversion can't be delayed. Notice our first reading today that says, you little by little chastise them, you little by little admonish them. So we can be patient with someone's conversion. We can absolutely be patient with someone's conversion, but we can't just act as if it's not important. We can't lower the bar. We can't change the standard of what is good and evil, right or wrong, sin or virtue. We cannot change that. But we'd have more people in the pews if we'd stop talking about all this truth and sin and stuff. Yes, but then we wouldn't be the Catholic Church. Then we wouldn't be... I can talk pretty well, and I can talk at length. Right? I could probably say something pretty entertaining. And I could probably, gather people in. But the cost would be to compromise what is true and good and beautiful. The cost would be to compromise the whole point of being here. If this is just a social club, if this is just a warm and fuzzy factory, if this is just a place for everyone to feel, you know, included and integrated and community oriented, then it's no longer a church. And what I'd be providing in such a case would no longer be the gospel. And that'd be a real shame, because the gospel of Jesus Christ, and only the gospel of Jesus Christ, and only the gospel of Jesus Christ as manifested in the deposit of faith that has been given to the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, that gospel, that expression of the gospel, and nowhere else is there salvation. To the degree anyone happens to sort of accidentally run into the grace of salvation, God would be working through his church to spread that in the world. So those who may be unknown to us receive grace from God. The grace is still flowing through the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. And thus, we only have one thing of value to give, and that's to bring people in. And the consequence of bringing people in is not just merely saying, hey, you're included now too, don't you feel wonderful? But to say, if you want to have that, do you want this salvation? Do you want to be healed? Do you want... You say you're longing for belonging and acceptance and love. You're looking for someone who won't condemn you. You're looking for the satisfaction of hungers that this world cannot give you. You're miserable and you want something more. You even climbed up the tree and it's like, well, wouldn't it be great to be in there? Yes, it would. The door is open, absolutely. However, you do need to get out of the tree. However, you do need to turn your back on the way you've been living. However, you do need to repent of your sins. And until you do those things, salvation will not come to your house. Grace will not, well, the salvific grace, I guess the grace call, the grace that, the primary grace that calls you to desire Christ was there from the beginning. But the salvific grace that, whether you know it or not, you want, when you say, well, I just want to belong. You think you want belonging on human terms. We can adopt you into the household of God. All it costs you is to turn away from your sins and believe in the gospel. Which, I know, even for us who are in the household of God, that's a really hard thing to do. But it's also a very simple thing to do. So simple that there's no way for us to compromise that standard without betraying the whole enterprise.